Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
We'll hear about prayer from someone who I believe is one of the most tremendous intercessors that we have in this church. And it's not a man, it's a woman. And, you know, you're allowed to listen to women when they're submitted to men. She's married to me, and she is. And I've given her my blessing. Amen. So any of you that get all funky about it, don't be funky no more. And it's my wife. You know, she wakes up in the morning, and all you hear is prayer and intercession. During the day, you hear prayer and intercession. At night, you hear prayer and intercession. Sometimes the prayer and intercession is because of things that I've done during the day. But she is a tremendous prayer warrior, and she prays for you. She loves you very much. You're here. She was just sensitive to that. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's just invite. His presence is already here. His the worship in this church is amazing. Love it. And let's just invite His presence to anoint His word and anoint me. His word is already anointed. But I need Him. We need Him. And let's just speak to Him just for a few seconds. Father, we give you honor, God. We ask your anointing, God, that breaks every yoke of bondage. Oh, you shake loose, God, those things that have held us fast. Oh, you shake the foundation. Oh, the generational things, oh God. Oh, release that anointing, God, to unlock those areas of our life that only you can unlock. And Father, we praise you. Come and do what you want to do, dear God. Let us be sensitive to the moving of your Spirit, God, to do what you want us to do, to obey where you want us to obey, to lay down what you want us to lay down, to pick up what you want us to pick up, to go through where you want us to go through. Oh, give us that ear to hear the voice of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen and amen. Thank you, worship team. We're just going to go straight into the message. You can take your seats. And I could have just prayed the sermon through right there. But we're going to pray. We're going to read Mark 14, 32 to 38. And we're going to read quite a long passage of scripture because we're going to dip in and out of this scripture. But this is a portion of scripture that I believe that God has given to us as an example of our prayer lives, as an example of how we are to live our lives in prayer through prayer. So we're going to read Mark 14, 32 to 38. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I'm going to speak to you today about three things. I'm going to speak to you about the flesh, which I'm sure many of us know about. I'm going to speak to you about temptation, which I'm sure many of us know about temptation. And I'm going to speak to you about the Spirit of God. I'm going to end with the Spirit of God. And first of all, in the beginning of the scripture, it said that they came to that place. And when we come, every one of us will come to that place. Many times in our lives, we're going to come to a place. Wherever that God brings us to, many times that place, at this point, it was the Garden of Gethsemane, which means oil press. A place where Jesus at that time was pressed, was wrestling, with the nature, because he had the same nature as we do, and he was wrestling with the will of God. Has anybody, if you're a born again believer in this place, ever wrestled with the will of God, where you feel you're like twisting and turning? Ever been to that place? If you've never been to that place, I declare to you today that you will come to that place. It is a place of transformation. It is a place where you change from one form to another, from an olive to a bit of olive oil. And that is the process that God takes his children through us all the days of our life. You see, we can choose to go through the process. We can choose to allow God to change us, or we can stay as soon as we come to something and we get stuck in that place. But Jesus went a little bit further. Not after 1 month of being saved, like with us, or 1 year, or 6 years, or 10 years, or 20 years, or 30 years. He went a little further. And I believe that in this place, that God is taking each one of us and challenging each one of us to go a little bit further. Because when you press that little bit further, that's where we come in to a place of transformation with him. When your flesh is saying no, and your spirit is saying yes. That is why prayer is so important. Because your flesh will say no, but your spirit will say yes, Lord. So when you don't pray, there's not a yes, there's a no. But when you pray, there's an exchange, and his will becomes your will. Many people do not fulfill the will of God because they do not allow the exchange of him to you. There has to be an exchange. And I'll tell you something, that exchange has to happen on a daily basis. On a daily basis, you have to go that little bit further. On a daily basis, you have to seek him whether you like it or whether you don't. Whether you feel it or whether you don't. Whether you want to or whether you don't want to. Because this is not a natural battle. This is a spiritual battle. There is another kingdom at hand, and it is the kingdom of God. And the only way that you will see the kingdom of God is by the Spirit. And the only way that God has given us the tool and the access is through prayer and through his words. There is no other way to see this kingdom but by his Spirit. And that is an exchange and a communication with him. And it is good old-fashioned prayer. Good old-fashioned fasting. Oh, what me, Lord? I've been around for 20 years. You mean I have to do those basics? Yes. Without those basics, you have lost the fundamental keys of victory. Even more so, should you be seeking the face of God. You see, without vision, people perish. Without revelation, they cast off restraint. What's all this about? They don't even bother anymore. But when God gives you a vision and a revelation, when he gives you something as a driving force, as a focus, oh my gosh, you'll get up and you will seek him, because you want to know the next episode. You want to know what else God is going to do. You wake up with an anticipation. You wake up saying, what, Lord, are you doing now? Even if it means it brings you to a place of death. Well, hello. Yes, that's the process. We need to die. We need to die. You need to die. He was going to the cross. Jesus was going to the cross. He left us an example. You must die as well, unless it falls to the ground. It says Jesus went a little further and then he fell to the ground. If Jesus had to go a little further and fall to the ground, how much more do we need to go a little further and fall to the ground and seek his face? Because unless that seed goes into the earth, unless that seed breaks, it will not produce. It will not produce. He's given us keys. He's given us examples to press through when we're in that place. To press through when everything seems to be closing in. When temptation, when your flesh is screaming. He gives us those keys to be able to follow after him. He was sorrowful. He was distressed unto death. He was bleeding blood. We've never had to do that. But still, we are given an example to follow so that we too can receive what he has for us. And he said to his disciples, can you not watch for 1 hour? And I say to you today, church, can you not pray for 1 hour? I believe the Lord is saying to his church today, I believe he is saying from the windows of heaven, church, can you not pray for 1 hour? Is the world knocking at your window so much? Is your Facebook, is the media, is your phone, is these things crashing into you so much that you cannot pray for 1 hour? Can you not pray, the Lord says? Can you not watch? He's not talking about our visual eyes. See, I can see you and you can see me. He's talking about being watchful in the spirit. He's talking about having a sharp discernment. He's talking about when someone talks to you, that the Lord will reveal to you what's behind what they are saying. You need to be watchful. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The word temptation is to be pierced in your flesh. See, there has to be an entry point. There has to be an entry point. And with your desires and the temptation coming, all they have to do is join together. And the two things collide. Hence, then you walk in and you enter into temptation. That's how temptation happens. It's your desires. When you can't get what you want, when you can't do what you want, you war inside. I want this. I want money. I want riches. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. And spiritually, they collide. You enter in. Your body follows. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation, because our spirit is willing, but our flesh, yes, all of us, your flesh is not saved. Hello. Your flesh is not sanctified. You're going to have to carry this beast with you all the days of your life until you go to this earth and your flesh goes to the ground and your soul goes to be with him. This beast that you carry I have a name for her, but I will not go into that name. She's a beast. And unless you learn to master you and me, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. See, the enemy doesn't have to do much. He just walks around you. Let me just watch this person. Let me study her a little while. Let me study him just a little while. Let me watch what she is doing. He doesn't have to do much, you know. Because all of a sudden, at an opportune time, he will come and he will attack you. Our flesh can be very, very strong. We talk about fasting. That's one good reason why you fast, to quieten down your flesh. What are some of the things the flesh likes to do? Well, you need to know what your flesh likes. You need to know what your bag is. See, one of you here is not going to be the same bag as the men or the women in the men's home. Their flesh has tasted of things. You need to know what and who you are so that you can learn to master those things, overcome those things, discipline those things. He says that we're supposed to be like athletes running this race, lest we don't disqualify ourselves as we are preaching and as we are serving and as we are ministering. And all of a sudden, you fall in immorality. Oh my gosh. That's what the Lord is talking about. He's talking about your flesh. And every one of us, I don't care who you are and how holy you think you are, you're not that holy. Only God is holy. Only God is holy. He is holy. And our flesh is fallen, and it's only through his spirit and only through prayer. It's only through prayer and falling to our knees and crying out to him like Jesus did, that we will have the strength to overcome temptation. And our eyelids, it says in the King James that their eyelids were heavy. They were like, and I see some of you sometimes when we're preaching, you're like that. I'm like, my gosh. And I'm like, you know, you need to wake up. The word slumber talks about drowsiness in the Bible. You know, a glutton just like puts something to his mouth. And it talks about, in the same bracket, gluttony, sexual immorality, anger, lust, greed. All these things have pierced many men and women of God. Pierced them and taken them out. You think we can't be pierced? Every one of us can be pierced in that place that God brings us to. And I'm telling you, this church is coming to a place that is spacious, a place that is fertile. You're going to have more room. You're going to have more decisions and more choices to make. You're going to have more success. You're going to look good. You're going to be given more prominence. I tell you, in that place, you could be pierced with the riches that draw people away from the kingdom. All of us have to watch and pray for the spirit of this world that is creeping in, that desensitizes us and makes us numb. That word drowsiness in the Hebrew is numb, drowsy, eyes half asleep, tired. And Jesus said that their eyes, in brackets in that scripture, he said, your eyes are heavy. And it means in there that they had no vision. They couldn't see beyond their own natural being, their own needs and their own wants. What I haven't got, what I need. They didn't have vision. They didn't understand at that time that Jesus was about to go to the cross. He'd spoken about it. He'd declared it. And they didn't understand. They were like, oh, shit. heavy eyes. Bible talks about they couldn't see. They couldn't see. Can you see, church? Can you see what the Spirit of God is doing? Can you see where the time is at? See, if you can't see, you'll be sleepy. You'll be slumbered. When's the next meal? I'm starving. I'm absolutely starving. God, come on, bring on the next bit of grub. I'll tell you what goes along with that. Sexual immorality. Whole thing is like a cluster of lust. Now, we have to eat. We have to sleep. You know, I'm not being like over the top here, but you know when you've taken it way beyond where it needs to be. I mean, I've met some people like they've been asleep. Well, in fact, my daughter's at that age. I mean, she would sleep like 15 hours if I give her the opportunity. I think it's all her hormones and everything just coming alive. And, you know, she loves to sleep. But there comes a point, you've had your sleep. Now get up. You know. Oh, no, let me just have a bit of breakfast and have another snooze. What? You need to start asking God if this is like a spirit of slumber. You need to start asking God for some vision. You need to start asking God for some revelation. You need to get before the throne of God and ask him, what is all this about? Do I really believe? Do I really? Because if I tell you what, because if you don't, you won't last this race. You won't last this race. You won't. You'll cut out. You have to know that this thing is real. You have to know Jesus is real for you, for me. Otherwise, you just get swept along with the emotion, with the culture, with whatever's going on. It's just like this. You have to know who you serve. You have to know the voice of your Savior. You have to know that God has taken you for a process, for a purpose. There is an end result. There is transformation on every place of Gethsemane that Christ brings you. There is a new place, a new transformation, a new form from the olive to the olive oil, from the wine, from the grapes to the wine. There's a metamorphosis. That's the God we serve. He is a God of transformation. He is a God of change. And if you have not changed, then you need to get to that place, that garden, and you need to go a little bit further. And you need to fall on your face. And you need to cry out. And watch and pray, because your flesh is weak, but your spirit is so willing. God's spirit within you is so willing. He sees greatness before you. He sees things you can't even imagine. And he just wants to take the lid off. He just wants to take you further, to see further, to believe further. He just wants to shift you, to move you, to expand you. These are the prayers I pray for you. Unfortunate in this church. Push the people, God. Expand their capacity. Expand our vision. Expand our faith. Expand our reach. Expand this kingdom. Expand it, God. This place is not big enough for us. Expand. This is what we declare over this church. You are in a church where if you are messing about, it will be exposed for what it truly is. The Spirit of God is in this place. Jesus would not allow it, and I'll tell you why. Number one, the type of people we work with. We can't mess about with that. They go out and die. They don't just go back to the nestling of their own mums and, oh, have a meal. You know, you've had a little bit of a mess up. The people we work with go back and die. This is a church of transformation. This is a church where the anointing breaks every yoke. If you allow it, you will go as far as you want to go. You will change as much as you want to change. You got to go a little bit further, church. You got we, I, us. we've got to go a little bit further. We all go through seasons where we're tired. We all go through seasons where we're discouraged. We all go through seasons where the enemy's been on our backs, trying to lie to us, trying to bring offense, trying to bring unforgiveness. We've all of us have been there. But when you're in that place, and you have to go a little bit further with him. You have to press into him a little bit further. You see, because unless there's an exchange, from him, if you come from your prayer place and there's not been a change, then you need to go back to there. Because there's no other victory anywhere else but in him. Not in talking on the phone for hours, not in getting counsel. He is the counselor. Other people should just be confirming what the Spirit of God is saying to you. It shouldn't be that you're going to this person and that person and getting this advice and this. You go and it will become, if you have a relationship with God, it will be confirmation. Confirmation, the word will come and reveal to you those things. Temptations will come, but if you have submitted your desires to him in that place, in that secret place, you won't be pierced because there'll be no entry point. Jesus got led into the wilderness by the Spirit. He didn't get led into temptation by the Spirit. He got led into the wilderness. My friends, we may go into the wilderness. We will go into the wilderness. But let it be the Spirit that leads you. Because otherwise, if it's not him that leads you, it will be the enemy that's bringing you out on a loose. But if it's him that's led you there and the enemy will come, he will bring you out in power. Jesus came out of the wilderness in power. But he was led in by the Spirit. You see, wherever you go, your enemies may surround you. But the Lord says he prepares a table in the midst of your enemies. See, you can feed when the enemy's attacking you. You can feed off him. You can live and sustained by him. And everything around you is madness. And your position is fixed in him. That's prayer. You don't change your position. I think I said it to Lizzie or one of the other girls when she came from the home into the reentry. I said, Lizzie, your position hasn't changed in Christ. Your circumstances will change. Your feelings will change. Your emotions will be up and down. But your position in Christ never changes. Stay set in him. Find your place in him. And become everything that he has called you to become. See, the Holy Spirit is the greatest friend I have ever had. He is become my everything. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the lover of my soul. He is the creator, and he dwells within you and me. And he leads us into truth. He gives us discernment of which way to go. And he dwells within us, but it's up to you whether you tap in to who he is. He is available to us if you are born again of his Spirit. As a child of God, he does not play hide and seek. His sheep will know his voice, he says. And if you are not hearing his voice, then maybe your positioning has moved and you need to get back in position with him. As the worship team start to come back up, Jesus said, would you take this cup, Lord? See, every one of us, you're that cup. You're that vessel. We're those vessels. And the Lord's cup was to go to the cross. The Lord's life was to be poured out for many. Your cup is your responsibility of what you fill it with. See, I don't know what you've been drinking of. That's your choice. The amazing thing about our God. Sometimes I think it's amazing, and sometimes I'm like, he gives you choice. Oh, it's a killer. What a killer. And you know, when I got saved, that is what done me. Oh, it done me. Tell me what to do. Control me. Do something. But don't give me a choice. Oh, I hated it. I was in the home and the door was open. Lock the door. I said to Deborah, prison is better than this because the door is locked. I hate the fact that the choice is mine. Ah! Do you know that has changed me? That should change you. He's given us choice every day of our lives, whether we choose to serve him. He's given us choice of whether we drink from his cup or the cup of this world. See, the cup of this world, you can't drink from Christ and drink from the world. The Bible says you're drinking from demons. Ooh, I was like, ooh. You can't drink to, you can't serve two gods. We can only serve one God. There isn't an in-between area, you know, like, oh, well, this must be the in-between area. It's like a gray area where I can compromise and I can mess about. There's no gray area. There's the kingdom of God or there's not. There's no gray area. And he's given us that choice as to what cup we're drinking from and whether that cup changes us. You see, what you drink from, what the exchange, there's an exchange that happens in that relationship with him. You see, Jesus was sorrowful unto death. He then fell on his face. He went a bit further. He fell on his face. He rebuked the disciples. But there was an exchange with his Father. And then he went and did God's will. Not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. There was a death before the death. How about that? You see before you see. Does that make sense to you? That's vision. You know where God is taking you. You may not want to go. There's a struggle. It's a fight. But you die before you die. You see before you see. That's the Spirit of God. Stand in this place. God is bringing this church to a deeper place of prayer. Whether you know it or not, this church is going to a new place. We've had many prophecies that have been declared over this church. And if you've entered into this house and you've entered into this body, then these prophecies are yours too. And the Bible says in Timothy that we wage war with the prophecies that have been spoken over our lives. Do you wage war with the prophecies that have been spoken over your life? Do you bring them out? Do you declare them back out to God? Do you bring out that double-edged sword? Do you bring it out and say, Lord, you said that no eye has seen and no ear has heard what God can do. No mind can know what God has in store. Be faithful, be obedient, and stay pure, says the Lord. You said, God, that you are doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it with your own eyes? I am doing a new thing, says the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you have watered that new thing, that you have strengthened that new thing. We look to you, Jesus. We look to the Son to strengthen that new thing. Oh, and Lord, you declared that you have brought us into a spacious place. We are in that place, that fertile land, a land, a promised land, where there's liberty, where there's freedom. Oh.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.